Welcome to the Own Your Stress podcast. I'm your host, Maddie Snow, a high achiever and former healthcare professional turned stress coach. Every week, we're going to delve into what contributes to stress and how you can partner with your brain to feel less chaotic and more grounded in life. This isn't your typical stress management. This is stress ownership. Hey, everybody. I've obviously nixed the intros, letting you know what episode this is and all that, because I've noticed that I'm not going to listen to those intros, and I'm not going to necessarily keep things in the order that I decided they would be a couple weeks ago. So I'm not going to fight that. Especially because so much of our perceived stress, the stress we experience, is from arbitrary rules that we're putting on ourselves that we're not necessarily measuring up to, and then we're punishing ourselves for not measuring up to the arbitrary rules. So let's say one of those rules is that I need to have all of my podcast episodes planned in advance. I have to have these intros put together so this is the way that it's done. And after doing that, I realize that's going to actually make it more stressful because I can't make spontaneous episodes anymore. I'm planned 3 or 4 weeks out, and that's just how things have to be. That's going to end up creating more stress in the long run. So I'm getting rid of that arbitrary rule, and we're just going to go with the flow. Right now, I'm going to release this episode, and then we'll just put the rest in as they follow, and it'll work out totally fine. So this is going to start with an invitation for you to look at what rules you're creating that don't necessarily exist outside of your brain, but you're holding yourself to the rules, and it's causing stress. That's my first thought here. Is check in with the things you're holding yourself to that may be arbitrary rules. The meat of this episode, though, for real, is how to navigate incredibly stressful, potentially stressful, and incredibly heavy times that seem to pop up a lot since 2020. This is obviously my response to war breaking out in Ukraine last week. It's been an incredibly difficult time to be people watching from afar who are incredibly empathetic and are tired of bad things happening to good people and not being able to do anything about it, which we've had a lot of since 2020. So I wanted to create kind of an all-encompassing episode because we're treating so many of these events as another pile on this overwhelming pile of shitty things. But in actuality, what they are all individual situations that are occurring relatively independently that feel like they're back to back. And so when we're not resolving each one and we're not coming to terms with what stress we are going to take from each one, they compile and we end up in a helpless, hopeless burnout created by caring a lot. So 2020 marks a pretty specific delineation in time. There are what I refer to as the before times, where tragedy, pain, and challenging systemic issues existed, but we kind of stayed head down doing the productive work that keeps us busy. For the majority of people, especially people of privilege, but all people, we were able, in all first world people, I should say, we were able to keep our lives in a, we were either able or life was forcing us to continue X, Y, and Z. This is the next step. This is work. This is how we mitigate or how we navigate the day and the week. So we were locked into this hyper productivity cycle that kept us kind of ignorant to everything that all of the bad that was going on. We were vaguely aware that there were things going on overseas in various situations. I personally listened to a lot of NPR in the before times when I was going to and from work. And so I do remember a lot of really horrible news from overseas. The thing is, we were so focused on our productivity that we had no space for anything else. And now we have the after times, the now, which is post being locked down on and off for 2 years, post regular COVID briefings and updates on how many of our fellow humans were being lost, post aggressively apparent barriers to care and equality, post George Floyd. The before times feel like they were better and easier. And it feels like the before times were suddenly turned upside down and everything was all of a sudden bad. But the truth is, all the problems that we see have been building for a long ass time. Did the pandemic splinter the cracks in every single system that we've been duct taping for years? It sure did. But that doesn't mean that the cracks didn't exist. We just didn't see all of them. We saw the cracks in our systems, the ones that are directly related to us, that affect us directly. For example, those of us in medicine knew that the way we were limping along wasn't sustainable for patients or providers. We were all limited to seeing our cracks because in the before times, there was just so much to distract us. Between work and having everywhere to go and everything else to focus on, seemed like there was so much in between all of the horrible events because we were doing things and we were out in the world and we were traveling and we were enjoying along with being hyperproductive. In reality, there were horrible things happening one after another. We weren't absorbing all of it. That's the significant difference. And post-2020 is a whole new animal. One where we are aggressively aware of all the injustices and the pain in the world and in our country, in our neighbors' pain, in the inequality that is pervasive through every system in our country. And we are of a culture where pain is ignored. Uncomfortable things are better left untouched. You know, cheer up, Charlie. Don't kill the mood, right? Like, why are you Debbie Downer? And because of this, we're also wildly incapable of navigating the immensity of the problems that we seem to be smothered by on a regular basis now. This doesn't make us bad people, but it does present an opportunity to develop skills in navigating an overly connected world full of incredibly diverse people. When it comes down to it, we have been carefully trained to turn towards things that are more comfortable and prettier and distracting when we are faced with things that are uncomfortable. And in the before times, those things were easily accessible to us, and that's typically what we went for. And now in the after times, what we are mostly exposed to is all of the drudgery and news and the hyper-negative aspects of most every situation. And it's difficult to know how to cope with that when our coping mechanisms have all been taken away from us. So as we know, stress comes from our perception. If we feel out of control, hopeless, lost, we're going to be overwhelmed by stress. Our brains are going to attempt to start helping us. They're going to try to attempt to start sending signals to our bodies to fight or flee or do something because clearly we're in danger. Look at all of this horrible going on. We are overwhelmed. We are incapacitated. And as our brain tries to do its best in a situation that it hasn't been taught how to cope, we are going to start draining energy. We're going to become overwhelmed by stress, and it's going to leave us very incapable of being any help whatsoever. Toxic positivity, on the other hand, is what perpetuates pain and keeps us focused away from the problem solving. It keeps us focused on what's pretty, but it doesn't actually help us move through the pain of the world. And it's unfortunately what a lot of our culture promoted we turn to in the before times. Don't look at that stuff. Stop, you know, stop being so negative. There is good in the world. Absolutely. But we too often shied away from the things that were painful. And now that we can't necessarily shy away from them because they're all around us on a regular basis, we're shutting down, we're feeling hopeless, and we're overwhelmed. There's also this kind of pervasive thought process that if you aren't overwhelmed and incapacitated by hopelessness and stress and empathy and just and so sad, then you aren't feeling. What are you, heartless? Do you not feel for other people? And so there's this really important balance that we have to keep between when we feel like we are overwhelmed and paralyzed and where we feel moved because we are fueled by the passion to help others. We're fueled by how angry we are about what we're seeing on TV or hearing on the news. So as always, always, the answer to all of this heaviness is somewhere in the middle between incredible overwhelm and absorbing every last bit of information that drags you down and toxic positivity, which is just turning away from it all and trying to make it prettier. The first thing that I want to mention, though, is that your needs are valid. If you need to talk, scream, or vent, if you need to focus on your life because external heaviness is just too much, it's all valid. And all I can offer is the science of what can help and what does not help. This is not an episode to start arguments over or try to tell you how to feel during worldwide crises. This is an episode to tell you the science of what your brain goes through when it's overwhelmed by crises that are too big for it to understand and ways that are effective in moving through that. So while it's important to be aware, it is not necessary or productive to immerse yourselves in news and updates. There is an immense amount of privilege to be able to step back from the onslaught of information. Absolutely. But because when we feel ineffective, our brains go to numb, it's important not to overwhelm yourself. This is honestly very common also in situations where people work in, like, let's say hospice oncology, which is where I started my medical career. It's incredibly difficult to see incredible pain and loss on a daily basis. If you're listening to this and you currently work in medicine of any sort, the COVID loss that you have seen and had to come in every single day and continue working through that, that is an incredibly overwhelming sense of loss. And so to be able to step back from that is a privilege, but it's also an absolute necessity. Because those of us who have the privilege to be able to step back from really big news and crises and systemic issues that are overwhelmingly infuriating and sad, we have a responsibility to step back because we have to have energy to be able to take action. It does no good if all of us watch and listen ourselves into burnout and exhaustion and end up fetal on the floor. That does no good for anyone. And contrary to common beliefs, it does not mean that you cared the most when you are the most drained. It's also incredibly important to experience joy, which can absolutely come with a lot of guilt. But because humans are capable of holding so many emotions at the same time, joy is one that fortifies us against hopelessness and burnout. And I'm not necessarily saying joy as in we're going to an amusement park, okay, we're going to scream and laugh. But joy can also be taking a walk and enjoying being outside and nature and soaking in those moments that make life worth living. because those are the things that are going to help us battle this incredible overwhelm and exhaustion and hopelessness. You're going to want to watch out for feelings that sound like there's nothing to be done. It's all so hopeless. What's the point? Those kind of framings, when you're saying them, when you're thinking them, those are the signs that your brain is overwhelmed, that everything is too big and it can't break the problem that you're facing down into individual components, which happens a lot because our brains, again, I've said this a couple times in previous episodes, but our brains were designed for a world like 10,000 years ago. They work well enough in today's world, but we need to be able to communicate with them in ways that are, this is what I am watching on TV, or this is what the news is telling me, but it is not what I am currently experiencing. We cannot get too hopeless and complete burnout again, because there's no action there. There's no help there. So have opportunities to indulge in things that you enjoy. And small things matter. Step back, take a deep breath often. Look at trees. Watch birds fly. Those kind of things are voluntary, they're involuntary attention seekers. So when you are watching birds fly or when you're watching the leaves in the trees, that's stuff that your attention is just going right to, and it refuels our brains and honestly our souls. It refuels us to watch nature work. When we're using focused attention like we are when we're looking at our phones, it's actually creating an environment in our brains that is similar to when we're being threatened, and we don't take deep breaths. We actually short circuit our ability to do what's called a physiologic sigh. And every so often, when you're a typical human going through the day, you'll breathe deeply and sigh in a physiologic way. It's not necessarily that you're being emotional and you just like do a heave-ho sigh. It's your physiology. And that doesn't happen when we're staring at our phones. It seems like it has something to do with the fact that we don't use our peripheral vision at all when we're looking at phones. And because our field of view is so focused, it also happens on computer screens. But when we're so intensely focused on things and we're not using our peripheral vision, that's kind of a signal to our brain that we're in danger. Because typically in the animal world, in our animal brains, we wouldn't be using our attention that way unless we were staring down a threat. If you were in nature, you wouldn't stare in one place, not looking, not using your peripheral vision, unless you were scared. And so when we stare at our phones that way, or stare at the computer, or even the TV that way, it becomes a signal to our bodies that we're actually under an immense amount of threat or stress. And so our bodies start treating the situation that way. So breaking from the phone, breaking from computer screens, using your peripheral vision, look straight ahead, but see out your peripherals, if you know what I'm talking about. That enables you to take deep breaths and to calm your brain down so you're not getting revved up and overwhelmed even more. When you also add chaotic news to the fact that we're already put in a state of heightened awareness and threat when we're watching TV or looking at our phones, you kind of come into a huge perfect storm for setting ourselves up to be overwhelmed and hopeless. It's incredibly important to also remember that all of these huge problems are not going to be solved overnight. They weren't created in 24 hours, and they're not going to be resolved in that period of time. They're also not on you to take the full responsibility or pain for. It's incredibly important that you notice when you're taking on too much pain and responsibility for the horrible things that are going on in the world. There will always be more horrible things. There have always been horrible things. And we are working every day as individuals to better the world the way we can. But we can't possibly look at situations that have taken years to build to this climax and think, oh God, everything's over now. Or why is this still a problem the next day? God, this is still horrible the next day. this takes time to resolve and it is horrible, but like all of these big events, they don't end in one day. And for us to have expectations that tomorrow this won't be a problem anymore ends up contributing to our stress. So accepting it as the norm for right now, looking at these really big issues as the norm and things that you can still navigate your life, you just have to pay attention to your energy and give yourself what you need in various moments. Something else that you can do, start looking for people who are speaking in problem-solving focused ways, not just those who share all of the world's tragedies. Especially when those tragedies are shared in ways that are politically biased or politically alarmist or alarmist in any way. Generally, a good rule of thumb is if something makes you triggered and alarmed rather than thoughtful and curious, it's a good thing to monitor at the very least. It's not like you have to shut everything out, but monitor when you're feeling alarmed or overwhelmed or hopeless from posts rather than feeling empowered and actionable, because those are going to be using two different parts of your brain. The overwhelmed and helpless part is going to be the part of your brain that contributes to fear, threat, like that level of stress. And so this is, again, the science. I'm not saying who's posting what and what they should be posting. I just know that when you have a amygdala reactive brain response to something that you see on the internet, that's contributing to your stress burden. And when you have a response of, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I'm going to look more into this. Oh, I could actually donate to this. Oh, I could help this way. When you have those thoughts, those are using the problem-solving part of your brain that isn't based solely in getting fear-based reactivity out of you. That's also kind of that fear-based reactivity is where we go when we see really polarized posts. They get a ton of engagement. People always have something to say. But usually when you have that hairpin trigger moment of like, oh my God, this, that is a reactive brain response. And it's generally better to have less of those types of feeds in your life. Look for small ways to help others. This doesn't even necessarily mean that it has to do with the tragedy or the crisis that's currently at hand. Humans are wired for connection. We actually get a significant reprieve from stress when we engage in anything that's altruistic. So reaching out, doing something kind for someone, even giving somebody a kind word, those kind of things actually have been shown to counteract the physiologic responses that we have with stress and the damage that's done by stress. The more altruism and more connection that we're engaged in, the better off our brains are and the less stress we absorb from these really huge crisis events. Because remember, these events, we can't do anything to stop them. And they're always going to be there. There isn't going to be one day where we don't have people threatened, where all races are living together peacefully. Granted, we want it, but there will likely not be a time where there is peace on Earth entirely. And so knowing that these things will happen and we can't change the facts of the situation, it's incredibly important to know how to change, to have these go-tos and these tools to change your perception of the situation and how you experience it, because how you experience the situation is what determines whether or not you feel an immense amount of stress. Like I say a lot, the facts are not inherently your stress. Your stress comes from feeling out of control and threatened. You can feel sad and you can feel for people, you can have empathy without feeling incapacitated and hopeless. Those are two separate things. And what we want to feel is empathetic and empowered and rested and not completely drained and hopeless. Another good way to have some level of connection and community is if you work on any kind of team, reaching out to the team and saying, hey, what would you guys like to get together and talk? I mean, this is obviously all within your capacity, whatever is within your capacity. But if you feel like you're disconnected in some way and that you're the only one feeling this way, you're not. And even getting in a Zoom room with a couple of people who feel similarly, who aren't sure exactly what to do, but would like to sit and actually communicate with each other about it, that can be incredibly powerful. Also, making sure that the people who are on your team understand that they should have a low barrier for calling off or asking for help, because some people will have a higher capacity right now and some people will have a lower one. And so there will be some people who have access to more energy and be able to help, especially because some people are really fueled by helping. So it drives them to be able to do something for someone else. And that action itself can help keep that other, the stress of being hopeless because on the other side of the world, horrible things are happening. Keep that feeling at bay. We always talk about how we see more of the negative because we're more connected than we ever were before, right? And we are the most informed that we've ever been. So we look at the negative aspect of that a lot. But it's also important to take a moment to see the connectivity that we have access to as a gift, because it can bring a sense of community when people are on opposite sides of the world. Yes, we know more of the bad, but we also know and see more of the good. And we also have access to helping and contributing to more of the good, more than we ever have in the past. Another good thing to do is to tap into your curiosity. What do you know about how things have escalated? Start using Google for education when things come up, rather than looking for the viral type stuff that you're going to see on Instagram. Google things that you're curious about the situation so you can learn about it, rather than delving into the situation in its current day and looking at incredibly emotional images on like constant replay. Honestly, learning is a really great defense against this sense of impending doom. Obviously, the little bit of learning is good. Anything can be taken too far. If you are overwhelmed by news and information, don't take in more information. But learning in small doses can help you get a better perspective on what's going on rather than just triggering your emotional fear-based response system over and over again until it burns out and you can't stand thinking about it anymore. So there are also some things that definitely do not help. Things like searching for people on social media to call out. Other people's responses are neither within your control nor your responsibility. Not to mention, I can promise nothing productive will come from two reactive brains firing at each other, which is exactly what happens when you call someone out for not paying attention to what's going on the opposite side of the world, when you actually only have access through social to that person through social media and you have no idea what they're thinking. It will also leave you more reactive, which fools you into thinking you've done something because you are reactive and exhausted. But in reality, all you've done is trigger another reactive brain and passed your stress on to someone else. No calling people out for how they pay attention to crises or how they don't, how they pay attention to their privilege and how they don't. And if you remember one thing from this episode, it's that reactive brains cannot learn or reason or problem solve. All they can do is scream. So when you're triggering someone's reactive brain in this thought process that you're educating them, you're actually putting them in a state where they cannot learn, their brains can't absorb information, and you're putting them in a state where the only access they have to their brain is a reactive fighting place, and that's all you'll get. You'll not have done a damn thing to change their mind, because you actually put them in a place where they can't even access any problem solving. Another thing that does not help is doom scrolling and getting caught in internet rabbit holes from hell that just take you down and down and down all of these emotional pathways that continue triggering your reactive brain. like I mentioned earlier, are the focus that we use when we're on the phone is already putting us in a heightened stress place where we're not even taking deep breaths. So it's incredibly important that when you start to doom scroll, you are able to put your phone down, walk away, watch some trees, watch some birds, take a deep breath or two, and reset, because you're not any good to yourself or anyone else when you're in that place. And then another thing to really keep an eye on is starting or ending your day with heaviness. We know what's going on in the news right now. So you don't need to immediately wake up and jump on the news or get on the information train. The same thing goes for if you have an Instagram feed that's overwhelmingly emotional and triggering your reactive brain on a consistent basis and makes you feel heavy and hopeless. If social media is doing that to you, same thing. Don't start your day with heaviness. Don't end your day with heaviness. Start with something that feels good and end with something that feels good. These are ways that you tell your brain life is still worth living. If all you put in front of your brain is hopelessness, despair, and war, that is all your brain will associate your day with. If you add work into that and you potentially don't really like work or don't feel like you should be working when, there's all these crises going on, you add that all up and your brain will start feeling hopeless because you're not giving it any hope. Hope is an active process. It's something that you have to practice. It doesn't just all of a sudden show up when all you're giving your brain is despair. So it's incredibly important to feed your brain what you want it to feel. And I want you to remember, this isn't about being ignorant. It's about protecting your energy so you can still care. Because we do not have endless pots of energy and empathy. They run dry at some point. And the more people who run dry of energy and empathy, the fewer we have to help. Life is a marathon, and being human is an absolute friggin' trip. But we have access to multiple parts of our brain for a reason. And we're the only animal that has access to all of our brain. And if there's one thing we know, with great power comes great responsibility. If you want your brain to not feel hopeless, if you want to feel like you still have energy to get up the next day, if you want to feel like there's a reason to live continuously, you need to give your brain facts and evidence that every day isn't just despair and hopelessness. And you can't just stop waiting for horrible things to stop happening, because they're not going to. So shifting your perspective and having tools at the ready for when they do happen, so you know what your next steps are, so you can still navigate through life, are incredibly important tools. I appreciate you listening to this impromptu episode. I hope it helps you navigate everything that's going on right now, along with heaviness that will no doubt come up in the future. We are definitely all in this together. We are all navigating in our own ways. And I hope I was able to provide some insight and help out a little bit. I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to the Own Your Stress podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please remember to rate, review, and share it with everyone you love. If you're looking for more ways to own your stress, you can sign up for my weekly email at my website, www.maddysnow.com. See you next time.